We're going to have kind of two parts, but I hope they're not seen as two parts today. And I just have a brief message, unless I get long-winded, to finish out this, but I want it to flow into the communion service, which will follow. We'll have some music even during the communion service as we remember our Lord, but how fitting today. But we do want to begin reading these last verses in Ephesians 6, 21 to 24. The scripture will be up on the screen if you do not have a Bible, as we finish this amazing letter to the Ephesus church and all the churches in Asia. Hear the word of the Lord. So that you also may know how I am doing and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, touch our hearts as we today finish this amazing letter, penned by Paul but led by the Spirit. I have no power to touch a heart. I have no charisma. I have nothing. But your word is the wow. May your word be the wow in our hearts today. May the Spirit of God do an amazing work. In Christ's name, amen. Incorruptible love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's written this letter we've gone through in chains, in prison in Rome. And notice how in verses 19 and 20, for me also that words, pray for me that words would be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. I'm an ambassador for the gospel. I'm in chains. And I want to declare the gospel boldly as I ought to speak. So he's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus and other churches. And he's burdened about the church because the church is worried about him. And in verse 21 to 22, he says, I'm going to send to you Tychicus, my fellow servant, my beloved minister. And he's a faithful man. And I want him to tell you everything about me because he was there with him, ministering to him. Because I don't want you to worry about me. And I want him to encourage your hearts and let you know that don't quit and to be faithful. And Paul loved this church and he wanted them to know, so he's going to send this beloved servant. And he finishes this letter, notice in verse 23, with, see, one, two, three, four key words that he's already talked about in his epistle. These are very similar to what he said in the book of Colossae, but notice these words. He said, peace be to the brothers. Peace. He's already talked about peace, hasn't he? In chapter 2, how we get peace because of the Lord Jesus Christ dying and paying for our sin. We saw peace in the armor of God. And we know that it only comes from God. And that's salvation peace. In chapter 4, he talked about unity peace, Jew and Gentile. So he wishes the church to be able to have the peace from God and peace with each other. Next, he mentions this amazing word, and love. Love. He's talked about love in chapter 3. Love from Christ. I want you, the church, to know the height and length and depth and width of the love of Jesus Christ that he has for you. He's talked about in chapter 4 and chapter 5, love and relationships in the church. You love the Jew. You love the Gentile. You love the black, the white, the green, the yellow. You love your wives. He's talked about love, so he again wishes them love in relationships. He uses the word faith there in verse 23. Love with faith. He talked about faith in chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 17. That saving faith, trusting in the gospel. He talked about faith as the absolute truth in the gospel that we are to trust in. He talked about in chapter 6, the shield of faith, that living faith. And then he talked about this other great word, grace, in verse 24. Grace. I want you to have divine favor that only comes from God. And in chapter 1, I love how he worded it in chapter 1, verse 6. But to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. Chapter 2, verse 5, that grace that saved us, that took us from the King Satan to King Jesus, chapter 3, verse 7. So these key words he is wishing as he closed this letter, and I've just written to you about peace and love and faith and grace, and that's what I so desperately want for you. But look in verse 24 to the only people that get this. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, not with just any love, but with an incorruptible love. So this is written for all those who have been saved by the power of the gospel and the power of God, who've been delivered from the power of darkness to love Jesus. So this is for us. But you know, I was thinking about this. It's for us, but we'll never love the Lord like we should, will we? Not here on this earth. We'll always fall short. We'll always know that we're just not going to make it. But we continue to grow and change. And look at the end of this. With those who love our Lord Jesus Christ, with a love that is incorruptible. I want to share just three things today to kind of just be short and to the point. First of all, he is worthy to be loved. He's worthy to be loved. No one else is worthy to be loved. He and he alone is worthy for us just to love him. You know, we get so busy and caught up in life, don't we? Anybody have anything to do this week? Wow. It's like sometimes I say, I can't wait to go to bed. I can't wait just for everything to end today. Then you forget to let the dog out, and you got to get up and let the dog out. Sometimes we get just so busy with our jobs, with our kids, responsibilities around the house, with grandkids, with paying bills and doing dishes and taking care of ourselves and taking care of our, you know, our in-laws, our outlaws, or whatever we do, we just get so busy with all the things in life, we absolutely forget to love Jesus. Wow. Sometimes even in our spiritual activity, teaching, working on the soundboard, the computer, cleaning, preaching a message, doing whatever we do for the Lord's church, doing whatever we do for the Lord, even doing good things and yet forgetting to love the one we're serving. What's the greatest commandment? To be busy in the church. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. Wow. He is worthy to be loved in all of our strength. I thought of this question. What's our greatest command? What do you really follow all week? What's your greatest command? Is it just to love Jesus Christ? Or is it, yeah, or maybe it's just got to be good. I got to work hard. I got to make sure I'm above the other people at work. Or I think a lot of us live by other commands rather than, I've just been called to love my King and love my Savior because He gave me peace and He gave me love and He gave me faith and He gave me grace. And I just love Him. Just love Him. Oh, how easy it is to just simply love Jesus. I got called last night about 10 o'clock. I forgot I was on call. Thankfully, I was at home. And I got called to go pick up someone who had died. And so I got dressed, my uniform on, and I got there. And it was a 66-year-old man. And I got to the room, and his mother was there, and his some other relatives were there, and I talked with them. And this man had cerebral palsy. And his arms, his hands were like this. His legs were kind of deformed and they were twisted. And his head was kind of large. And he had asphyxiated and he had died. And I really love it when the family's there because then I get to be pastor. And here's a guy who never, ever was the sports star, who never threw a ball, who never ran out of the tunnel with his uniform on, probably never went to traditional school, probably never got A's, never ever was able to do the things that we get so wrapped up in. was never the star of anything, was deformed, was kind of odd looking. And his mother, who was sort of a petite lady and gray hair, and I don't know how old she was, and she was standing by his bed and just crying. And she reached down and she kissed him. And that's when I'm sitting over there, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And I got to tell you, it was absolutely a lesson. And I went up to her and I said, you're an inspiration to me. Thank you for loving your son. What did she do for her son? She just loved him. He was never the star. He didn't get any awards at graduation. He had nothing that we value as being worthy of being loved. He just laid there. And for 66 years, she just loved her son. I said, you might want to leave the room while I transfer him over to the gurney. And he had a little bunny rabbit that once I got him covered, I put the bunny rabbit on the gurney. And I opened the door, and there they were. And they followed me as I wheeled him out. And I said, I'll take good care of your son. We'll take good care of him. And I noticed in my rearview mirror, they were standing. They were just standing in the door, looking through the glass, just watching. So I drove real slow. I just drove slow and took their son away. I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. That's what I'm talking about today. She just loved him. Do you ever lose that for Jesus? We get so wrapped up and we just forget to love. And he is worthy of our love. We just forget. We were in the dungeon of death with no hope, without God, running away from God as fast as we could. And he reached down from heaven. We were heading for a torturous death. And he grabbed us and changed us and stopped us and gave us life. And he did Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2 and 3 and enabled us to do chapter 4, 5, and 6 to walk in love and walk in unity and walk in wisdom and all of those things we've seen. You see, he is worthy to be loved. Secondly, I love how Paul said, grace be with all of you who love our Lord Jesus. He is ours to love. He's ours as a church. I love how he put it in the plural. We as a church all have a Savior to love together. We are his people. No one in here gets more God, more Jesus. Sometimes gifts differ. But there's nobody that walks in here and is worthy of God's love. We all met God through the cross of Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1. God chose, Jesus purchased, Spirit of God awakened us and sealed us. Nobody in here walks in and is better than anybody. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. We love him collectively. We all received forgiveness. We all received grace. We all received a change of kingdoms. He's ours. And I love how he made it plural. What a church that would be when all of us know we're all loving Jesus and we all are loved by him. He's ours. Thirdly, he is to be loved purely. This grace and peace and love and faith is to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with not any kind of love, but with an incorruptible love. That word incorruptible, here's a simple definition. There's no corruption. It's unable to be deteriorated. It will never perish. It lacks the very capacity to ever decay or break down. So this goes to God's people who love Jesus Christ together with the love that nothing comes in and decays that love. Now, when I think of decay, I think of tooth decay. So I kind of looked it up. You know what tooth decay? Well, let me just read it for you. Tooth decay is caused by bacteria in your mouth using sugar from foods and drinks to produce acids that dissolve and damage the teeth. Acid attacks the teeth to dissolve the outer surface, allowing for greater damage down inside the tooth. Ah, did you grab that? Something gets in your mouth that shouldn't be there. What shouldn't be there attacks what's on the outside and attacks and attacks and attacks and eventually gets deep down in the inside. And that's exactly what happens to me and happens to you. Something gets into our spiritual life that should not be there. We allow something to get in, another idol, another love, another desire that God said, no, you're not supposed to have that desire. Love me. And it gets into our heart and it begins to decay just little by little. Because you don't know you have a cavity yet, do you? And that little acid just digging away. Finally, it breaks through and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And suddenly we got a hole and we got a mess. And that's what happens to us. And our love isn't pure anymore. Because we've allowed something to corrupt our love. And now we don't love Jesus. We only want what we want. Right? And I don't care what Jesus says. And by the way, don't come to this table if that's your heart today. Because Jesus says many will die and many will be sick. If you come to this flippantly and do not confess your sin. And say, God, I repent. I don't want what you want. Help me. And then embrace His grace. He is to be loved with the love incorruptible, and something damaging shows up, and we begin to grow cold, and we begin to grow hard, and we don't even see it. And I love this last verse, and it ties in with the very first verse. To the saints at Ephesus who are faithful, verse 24, who are faithful with the love that's incorruptible. And by the way, we've all been there where our love's been corrupted, have we not? Oh, yeah. We grow cold. We lose that love for our Savior. Oh, thank God that He reaches in and says, come back. And He puts somebody in our life, whether it's a preacher or a friend or whatever it is from His Word. And He says, come back to me. Come back. Come back. Something will always try to replace our love, to break down. As I was thinking of this, I was reminded of a tract that I read years ago. Called The Story of Dr. Love. And thankfully, in all my files, I found it. And I was searching through The Story of Dr. Love. This is written by, I believe, a doctor. And I thought it was so neat. He said, a few years after meeting this gentleman that he's going to talk about, I gave him the honorary doctorate of love degree because I didn't know his last name. He needed a handle and a title of respect since he taught me more than most of my college professors ever did. It happened one evening after visiting a friend's father at the hospital in my hometown. I was leaving the hospital, and as I passed by the nurse's station, one of my nurse friends said, hey, Tom, take a minute and go down to room 106 and just knock on the door. I said, just knock on the door and that's it? Yeah, just knock on the door. That's all you need to do. I was really suspicious now. No names, no clue as to what I was going to find. So I quizzed her once more. Jan, don't I need to know names and details? What am I getting into? Her expression was one of, I'm not going to tell you again. Just do what I said. Without any words, I did an about face. I walked down to 106 as instructed and I knocked. Opening the door was a distinguished elderly gentleman with a fatherly smile and comforting eyes. He was first to speak with the words, come on in, young man. My name is Chester, and this is my bride. Now, you know he's old with his name Chester, right? Or he lived on Gunsmoke. So he said, come on in, young man. My name is Chester, and this is my bride, Ellen. As he focused his attention on a small, bald head on the bed, she had lost so much weight that her body only caused the covers to rise a little, and she looked like a bald head in the bed. And what's your name, son? He asked. Tom, I said. Honey, this is Tom, who's come to see you. Quietly, he said that. You know, she doesn't look much now, but she's my baby, Tom. And here's our family. This is our wedding picture. We've been married for over 60 years, and this is a picture of our first house. Wasn't she a beautiful girl, Tom? Yes, sir. She's a beautiful girl, sir, I said. Are you married, Tom? Yes, sir, I replied. Let me tell you something, son. Love your girl. She's a gift from God, and you cannot love her too much. Pamper her, treasure her, and give her love. Love only her, and when you come to this point in your life, you can look at your baby and honestly say, it's just been you and me, baby. Then, Tom, you can be what you have to be, and you won't have to hide a thing. I looked around the hospital room as I tried to get my throat back, and I noticed that it wasn't a hospital room at all. It was a room from their home. The bed tray had a large doily on it and one of those wind-up ticking clocks we used to see so much. There was a braided rug on the floor, probably made by Ellen, and the walls were covered with pictures. If Ellen would have come out of the coma for an instant, she would have felt the love of her home and her husband. He had planned it that way. Well, Tom, thanks for coming by to see Ellen and me. And remember, son, love your baby. He said as he opened the door, I will, sir, I will. I said, using all the words I could make. Then walking down the corridor, I passed the nurse's station and I saw my friend Jan. I winked and said, thanks. Thanks for an experience of a lifetime, a lesson in fidelity, a lesson in commitment, and a challenge to a younger married man. Wow. Here is his wife of 60-some years. What was he doing to his wife? Just loving her. Just loving her. She couldn't do anything else. What a lesson. Do we love Jesus? Father, how ashamed I am of how many times I just don't love you with an incorruptible love. And little things get where they shouldn't get, and they scratch and gnaw, and they get down deep, and the love is corrupted. God, thank you for this wonderful reminder in this last verse and challenge. And Father, now we approach what you told us as a church to do, to stop and remember the blood of your Son and the body of your Son, that we may examine our life and confess our sin and be reminded to love. So God, I pray as we now approach this part of our service that much tenderness, much heartbrokenness would course through our veins. The Spirit of God would bring to our heart and mind things that have gotten in and have stopped us from loving you and loving Jesus. And I pray there'd be much repentance and much confession as we focus on Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for working in our church at this time in Christ's name. Amen. We want to begin this part. I want to read Isaiah 53, 1 through 7, and then verse 10. Hear God's word. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He, God,
has put Jesus to grief.